Good morning. Ajijachu kangi? Someone, thank you, by the way, for those of you that remembered. That's a Quechua greeting, by the way, for those of you that are new. We welcome you. Someone asked me, why didn't you greet us in Quechua one of the times that I recently spoke? And I said, well, you know, I figure you're such great learners, you're going to remember whether I asked you or not, right? So, now, it's always a delight for us to be here. Sure, we live next door. It's easy to get here, no matter what the weather is. But it's just a chance for us to fellowship with you, to give back a little bit, which is nice after 30 years of you being a part of our ministry. So thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm thankful for you raising my wife, so that she is a godly woman today. I won't say how old she is, but it's a biggie. It's a biggie. Very, very thankful for her. And I'm thankful for my physical family. Many of my physical family is here. And I'm very, very thankful for my spiritual family. And in case you're wondering about my shirt, do you remember me asking this a couple years ago? This is formal attire in Indonesia. So let me assure you, I am dressed up today. All right? Just as a quick review from last week, and I got to move ahead on some slides here. Is this going to work? I know it's up there. Oh, I didn't. I turned this thing on, but I didn't turn this one on. Okay. Yeah. I think last week you gave it to me and it was already on, so I just assumed. Okay. So we're going to forward ahead. Here it is. Review of last week. God's first message to his people, rebuild my house. And you remember, those of you that were here with us last week, I really appreciate this book and I'm thankful that I get to talk about it because over 20 years ago, when my family was really struggling, just struggling with different challenges, the Lord really spoke to me through this book. And my brothers and I, well, most of my brothers and I, got to go up to Wildwood and spend an overnight there. I don't know if you remember that. And it was just a blessing for us to really look at this book and be challenged by it. And I thought, you know what? My family here needs to hear this message too. So pay attention. I'll try to, remember last week, I think I let you out early? Did anybody notice that? I don't promise to do that today, but I'll be sure to let you out on the time. How's that? So let's just give thanks to the Lord. And I want to thank you, Father, for giving opportunity to study your word in a language that we know well. That's a special treat that many people do not enjoy. Many people are struggling. They have a hunger for your word, but they have to read it in a second or a third language. And so we thank you for this special opportunity. Pray that you would speak this morning, say what you want to say, and we would not only hear, but we would obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first message, August 29th, a very specific date, 520 BC, the Lord speaks to Haggai and says, say to my people, they think it's not time. They're busy building their homes, making sure they've got the newest features in the bathroom, in the living room. They've got their paneled houses, and it's time for them to finish my house. They had begun it in 536 BC. After some years, 530, they stopped because of oppression and challenges that they faced. And I mentioned last week that we face challenges. We will face challenges if we want to let the temple, and where is the temple today? Here it is. We are the temple of God. And so what kind of changes does the Lord want to make in this temple? And he challenges us, just like he did his people years ago, to make his house right. And that's what I want to look at today is how can that happen? What's involved in that? How much of that is us? How much of it is the Holy Spirit? And so that's where we're going to go today. But last week we talked about that the need to rebuild the house. Fast forward 7 weeks, and on October 17th, the Lord speaks to Haggai again and says, tell my people that the glory of my presence will be greater in this temple than in the previous one. And that's an amazing statement, because you got to remember, the first temple took 7 years. Solomon set aside, and David set aside materials, labored for 7 years to build this incredible building, gold, silver, you name it, as plush as you can get. And the Lord promises Zerubbabel, the governor, says, because you've been faithful, I want you to know that my glory is not only going to fill this place, but this place is going to be more glorious than the previous temple. And some of the older folks there who had actually could remember the previous temple were saying, oh, this is nothing compared to this incredible building that we had before. But the Lord said, you know what? My presence is what it's about. And I don't know about you, but I've been in some multi-million dollar structures that are houses of worship. And if God is present, if the people are tuned in and listening to the Holy Spirit, we meet with God. It's an amazing experience. And, you know, I've had the privilege of visiting very, very simple homes in the Andes of Peru and Ecuador. Mud floors, thatched roofs, very little light getting in, and yet God was there. And we fellowshiped with people and his family, and it was awesome. So the Lord doesn't need a fanciful structure to be able to communicate his message. What he needs is a heart that's ready to receive from him. So again, keep in mind who the temple is today. It's us. And that's, as we process this, be thinking about that. So he's going to make this less impressive second temple more glorious than Solomon's temple. And then three times the Lord says, first, he says it to Governor Zerubbabel, be strong, for I am with you. A second time, he says it to Joshua the high priest, be strong, for I am with you. And then finally, to the people who have rallied, because I don't know if you remember from last week, within 3 weeks, they were out getting materials and beginning this rebuilding process. And so he says, be strong, because I am with you. I take great encouragement from that, because the Lord does not state anything for us to do without saying, I will be with you. He never gives us a job that he is not going to be present with us. And that's just an incredible thought. So there's a principle. And the principle is that if he tasks us with a job, he promises to be with us in that. It reminds me of that passage in Matthew where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says something very fascinating. He says, enter my yoke. And I think, how do you equate yoke with rest? I don't think of entering into a yoke as being a restful experience. And the Quechuas really taught me about this. One day, Don Antonio, this older man, an elder in the church, said, Tomas, why don't you come help me with my chacra, with my farm, a little small plot of ground. I'm going to be actually getting the soil ready for planting. So I said, okay. And he knew I'd never used a yunta. Yunta is a plow system that the Quechuas use. They have a couple oxen, and they have this arado. I can't remember what's a plow. Thank you. So they have that, and they have this garrucha, which is a stick with a nail on the end that they poke the oxen to move it. So Antonio says, Tomas, I want you to do it. So here, and he sits down and he watches this educated foreigner that everybody thinks knows so much because I've been to college, okay? And I'm trying to poke this oxen to get it to do these straight furrows, okay? And so I'm doing it, and it's like, you might laugh. He was sure laughing. You know, I'd poke it with this one arm, and the oxen would take off, and it's like, and I'm trying to hold on with the other hand, the plow, but it's all about, the cool thing about it is you have this strong bull, this mature animal that knows what he's doing. And then when they want to train a younger bull, they put it next to the strong bull, and he just follows along, and he thinks he's helping so much. He's just trotting along really nicely, but all he's doing is he's learning the ropes. It's the strong bull that's really pulling the plow. And it was like when I was looking at this, where God says, I will be with you. He's that strong bull. He's the one that's doing the work, and he invites us to join him in what he's doing. And let me assure you, for those of you who have actually stretched yourselves, left your comfort zone to tackle something that the Lord is prompting you to do, it's challenging, isn't it? But it's super exciting when we are part of something that he's doing, and we get to see with that. And so here I am, trying to get this strong bull to go forward, and the furrows were like this, and Don Antonio said, Tomas, my neighbors are going to think I was drunk the day that I did this. You're going to ruin my reputation as an elder in the church. And he just was laughing and laughing. And that's cool. He needed to see that I couldn't do the things that he could do well. And so that's why we needed the body of Christ. That's why we all need each other. If I wait and say, Lord, give me that ability, and I don't reach out and include you, that's just pure stupidity. I mean, you have gifts that I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. But as we work together, we can see him do incredible things. So that's the part. Because he's with us, because he's the strong bull, then we can experience incredible things that he's doing. Fast forward a couple months to December 18th, and God has two more messages for his people. The first one, and you might have thought, what exactly was going on there? This if I have this this particular object that's pure and clean and holy, but it touches something that's unclean, what happens? And we all have seen that. You know, what happens if you have a bad apple and it's in a barrel? Gradually that apple will contaminate the other apples. And that's what the object lesson that the Lord was saying through this priest. And the truth is, this is the bad news, we are sinful beings. We need someone that's pure and holy that can come alongside and clean us up and then empower us to reach others. And that was the message that he gave. He was saying, you labored long. You worked hard to see a great harvest. And when you thought you'd get 50 bushels, all you had were 20, because I was trying to get your attention. You needed to listen to me. You needed to humble yourself before me. And that's the good news. The bad news is that on my own, I am not much help to the king. But when he is present, empowering me, when he is Lord of my life and Lord of your life, then incredible things happen. And so that's the good news. The good news is that God promises to forgive and restore us if we repent and if we seek him. You are his temple. I am his temple. The message he's giving us this morning is, what kind of work needs to take place in this temple? Now, Bruce is asking us for some help for tomorrow night. We want this temple to shine. We want this temple to serve. Similarly, in what way are we caring for this, the temple? The final message that he gave, also on December 18th, was a message of encouragement for Governor Zerubbabel. And I just think this is really cool because we all need messages of encouragement. As Lance said, this is an encouraging chapter if you really follow what the king is directing us to do. If we do humble ourselves, if we do repent, then he has promised to be the big bull, the strong bull, to work with us, to share in the work, in the labor with us. And so his message to Governor Zerubbabel was, you know, your grandfather failed his people. King Jehoiakim ruled for only 3 months, but he failed to be a godly king, and he was carted off by Nebuchadnezzar. And what the Lord says is, I removed his signet ring, the special ring of the lineage that would lead eventually to the Messiah. He says, I removed it from his hand. And now I'm restoring that ring to your hand. He's saying, the messianic line has not failed. The Messiah will come. And Jesus did come about 500 years later. And he said, because of your faithfulness, Governor Zerubbabel, you will be a part of that heritage. You will be a part of that messianic tree. So I promised you last week that this should be a life-changing message for all of us. And maybe you're feeling like, Tom, you really haven't convinced me of that yet. I mean, it's a cool book. I like it that it's only 2 chapters long. I get to finish a book pretty quickly in the Bible. But you know what? It's just really, you know, can you really clarify some of this thing? And so I'm glad that you asked. I'm glad that you're giving me this opportunity to summarize, okay? And hopefully with this summary, I can hopefully convince you to take advantage of the incredible message that's present in this book. So, the applications from Haggai. Our bodies are the present temple of our Lord. And how are we treating these bodies? And I mentioned last week, I encouraged you to live a balanced lifestyle. Don't wait till spring or summer to get out and walk around. Take care of this physically, take care of this vessel. Emotionally, look at the baggage that you're still carrying after 2, 3, 4 decades. Is it time to lay that baggage down and receive the healing that the Lord wants to give us? How are we doing spiritually? Can we feed ourselves spiritually? Or are we dependent on other people for nutrition, spiritual nutrition? How often do we open God's book so that he can feed us and teach us? Secondly, we've learned that God encourages us to join him. He's going to do the work on this temple, but he wants to work with us. Thirdly, or not thirdly yet, but part of this, as he works in us, I challenged you last week, and he continues to challenge us in chapter 2. What rooms in this temple, what rooms of unforgiveness or bitterness are we closing to the work of the Holy Spirit? Now, if we say, well, what exactly do you mean by this? Well, we can say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But 1 John says very clearly, if we do not have fellowship with one another, if we say, that particular person rubs me the wrong way, I really don't want to spend much time with that person because we don't have anything in common, we are basically saying, I have a room that I am closing to the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we're all going to be best friends, but I'm saying if you have someone in this body or in your family or somewhere in the world where you're just struggling in your relationship, you know what? It's time to repent of that. It's time to say, Lord, I have this baggage. I don't know what to do with it. But Tom says that I can dump it on you, and your Bible says I can give it to you. And that's my challenge for you today. That's God's challenge. That's his message. What room are we trying to close off that he wants us to say, hey, let me get in there. Let me complete the spring cleaning that you need. And we all have We all have rooms that we try to protect and we try to hide from because we want to give this wonderful impression to other people. The truth is, if we don't submit to the Lordship of Christ and we don't forgive our brother or sister, you know what the Sermon on the Mount says? If we refuse to forgive others, the Father is not going to forgive us. Now, does that jar you? Does that rock your world? Would you like the Father to say to you, Tom, I'm sorry, but I really would like to forgive you about these things, but you're holding on to this bitterness. Now, I'm not going to go in. I only have like 5 more minutes, so I'm not going to get into the theological aspects of this. All I'm saying is that the Scripture is pretty intense about if we harbor bitterness and we refuse to take that to the Lord, we are on shaky ground. And thirdly, we cannot sanctify our temples. We need divine help. The Lord is not expecting me to do it all. He's expecting me, number one, to get out of the way so he can do his work, and number two, to cooperate with him so that he can have complete freedom to make this temple into the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. So we need divine help. And Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal of spiritual maturity by human effort? So we recognize that if we couldn't deliver ourselves at the time that we came to Christ, we recognize that we had needs that we could not meet, that we needed the Lord to do for us. Paul is saying to us, why do I think that I'm going to accomplish spiritual maturity without the work of the Lord? That's that holiness. Holiness is only passed on from the Lord. It's not going to come from me. I like what way back in the 70s, there was a song, or actually Barry McGuire came to faith and was doing some music. And one of the things that he said was, you know, the moon is a reflection of the sun. He says, that's us. We have no light in ourselves. The moon can't generate light, but it can sure reflect on a dark night this incredible brightness of the hidden sun. We don't see the sun when the moon is shining. And that's what it is in the world. You are moons. We are moons for people that don't know the sun. They can't see him. But as we shine and reflect his light, they are attracted to him. And Barry McGuire said, I want to be a full moon. I want to be a full moon. And I think that's a wonderful challenge for all of us to be that. And then like Zerubbabel, we also are chosen by the Father. That signet ring that was given to him, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have been chosen by God to be a part of his family. Do you realize that we also have been given like a signet ring as a representative of him to take that message of reconciliation to the world? And there are many people that are watching us because they've heard in the media Christians are real troublemakers. They tend to be extremely obnoxious. And that's the message that some of our neighbors are hearing. And what kind of reflection are we giving? What kind of moon? Are we giving this incredible desire for them to say, I want to be like John? Because John went through incredible pain, and he's continuing to shine for the Lord. And that's the opportunity that we have. So a choice is laid before us. The temporal versus the eternal. We can live for the moment. We can choose to say, it's all about me. I want this, I want that, and I'll give God what's left over, or I'll give him his 10%, but it's really all about me. Is that how we're going to respond to this invitation, these four messages that he's given us? Or are we going to say, you know what, our life is so brief, and living with Jesus is so valuable, I'm going to live for eternity. I got to go to a funeral yesterday of a good friend from way back, only 63 years old, a young man. And he was a musician, and he loved Bob Dylan. And so he had a group of his friends who did music with him, and they did some Bob Dylan songs. And this was a very strong believer. In fact, they had a video clip of him singing one of the songs that he had written. But it was so cool because his brother got up and said, you know what? One day, this is our reality. What happened to my brother is going to happen to us. And will we be ready? And he got in our face. His brother was there. You know what? How long are we going to play games? How long are we going to think that what I think is so important and what I'm going to focus on is what I'm going to do? And he had a lot of family. In fact, he had 12 siblings, this person that passed away. So there were a lot of family there. And Tommy went, the sibling went at it. And it was cool. And that's what I'm thinking of. Will we live for the moment, or will we live for eternity? And that's the choice that we have to make. Father, I thank you for giving us your word. I thank you for this example in Haggai of how you spoke so clearly to your people. You commended them for rising up and going to do the task. And you want to do that today for us. And so I pray for my family here that you would speak to each and every one of us by your Spirit and accomplish your purpose. We want to shine brightly for you, and I just pray that you would help us be vulnerable, allow you to take that baggage that's still present, and continue to develop and shape us into the image of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Thank you all. I'm done on time, I think.